Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray is joining us to co-host today, and Steve Jordahl is in studio. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
I am, and good morning, everybody.
Now, I've noticed, is it Thursdays you wear all black, or is it a particular day?
No particular day. I just, football season is starting, and so
Raiders.
It's my Raiders,
go Raiders
tribute because of my silver tie. You see that?
Oakland Raiders.
Just win, baby. Just win, baby.
Now, for a man like Ray, Ray's not a Kansas City Chiefs fan per se.
Yet, I'm sure he'll
not
be converting.
Yet, but coming.
But that's enemy talk.
I know it is.
That right.
And from my friends back in Colorado, from whence I moved.
Denver Broncos. They hate the Raiders, too.
Yeah, that's the number one. My son-in-law is a San Diego Charger fan. So I'm filled with AFC West rivals and enemies.
I understand.
But Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Raiders, very outspoken Christian. Take a look at his Twitter feed. He's always tweeting Bible verses out.
So you think God is him?
I think God's for him and for the Raiders.
So, Steve, is Gruden really worth $100 million?
That's a lot of money. When you start talking that much money, how do you know? I mean, you know.
Just win, baby.
Right.
You better win. You're quoting Al
Davis.
Al Davis, the former. Is he still alive?
No, he's passed on. His son, though, Bruce Davis, is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with Steve's theology,
you might start to look there.
Just take it up with him. If you say, "Well, Steve, how do you know God's for the Raiders?" Then I just didn't want that to be a problem for all of us here on today's issue.
Address your emails to Steve Jordahl.
Okay, let's take it that way. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. You want to watch this show live on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and we are live streaming there. So take advantage of that. We appreciate everybody who listens to AFR and to Today's Issues. You can go to if you want to email, just go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. One thing, before you came in, Steve, and maybe you heard Walker talk about it, and I wanted just to spend another minute or two on this. Mm-hmm. You were talking, Walker, about a glider, like in a glider plane, which is a motorless airplane, landed. This was when the president was in Scotland?
Yeah, I said one of his golf courses. It was in Scotland when he visited the EU that whole trip
three weeks ago.
Europe. And this is according to the USA Today, the police in Scotland have launched a manhunt for the anti-Trump protester who breached a security ring to paraglide within 200 feet of President Trump. President Trump was on the lawn of his Turnberry golf course with business associates Friday evening when the protester swooped down.
You can watch the video. I'm doing right. It's on video. You can see that guy.
And they didn't find him?
They may have now. This story is dated back from the day after it happened.
But, I mean, the guy, did he land?
Well, he flew off and landed somewhere else. But just imagine.
They evidently have found him, I guess.
Yeah, Ray, imagine if he had a bomb or a gun or something, or a knife and flew down in.
What prompted this discussion? We were talking to Frank Gaffney about security risk.
Right.
And we're talking about drones.
Right.
And the increased use of drones and Walker was mentioning a glider got very close to the president when he was in Scotland. I don't want to keep on going with this, but when somebody said the glider took off, the gliders don't take off. What did they say?
This is really like a guy sitting in, like, what do they got? A paraglider.
Well, a paraglider is one of those?
A paraglider is different.
Well, a paraglider is one of those things where you lay prone or horizontal and you. Yeah, but I didn't see the video.
Well, this had a little fan on the back of it.
Okay, it was one of those things where you sit down
and
there's a motor
fan.
Okay.
Right,
parachute.
Right. Yeah, I got a parachute.
So you can take off with those.
Okay, I misunderstood because I've been up in a glider before. This is back when I was 10 years old with my uncle.
Right.
And
as have I, yeah.
You've been up in a glider?
With your uncle. No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so. You didn't ever tell me about this, Steve. So, wow, my uncle. Anyway, this was probably 1974, 75, and it was in West Memphis, Arkansas, and my uncle was into gliders, and we hooked up to a plane, and the plane took the glider behind it, and we went up, I don't know how many, 1,000 feet or whatever, and then you unhook from the plane. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was the one and only time I ever did this. You talk about an eerie feeling. First of all, being pulled behind a plane, a little small plane, number one. Number two is when my uncle went click, and off goes the plane, and we're gliding. And no sound except whatever wind is coming through the, you're sitting here. I'm in an airplane that doesn't have a motor, okay? And we've got to land sometime somewhere, okay? And but it was interesting because the plane, we were in West Memphis, I mentioned Arkansas, right across the bridge from Memphis, Tennessee. And the plane, my uncle used the parking lot from a dog racing track there for the heat thermal. And the heat thermal, birds do this too, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Updraft.
Yes.
Right.
It causes you to go higher, so he used that parking lot to keep the plane, keep the glider elevated. But that was the one and only time I ever went up, only experience I needed right there to get my appreciation for a plane without a motor.
Yep.
And we landed safely, obviously, and everything went fine. But when you said glider walker, that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
But you're talking about
a paraglider.
A paraglider. Mm-hmm. Got that close to the president.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not an idle threat. They're using drones. I don't. You probably said said this already, but the Israeli-Palestinian border, they're using drones to get bombs across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
We have tons of stuff we could choose from, and I'm going to end today, if you don't mind. We'll have a couple things that are going to be a little lighter because of the heaviness of everything the last couple days. But
that's good. We've already taken our anxiety medicine. So.
Let's start.
Frank amped us up.
With today being the day that more than 300 newspapers are publishing editorials criticizing President Trump for his attack on the media. And
is this collusion?
Well, it could be. It's let me just deconstruct. This is organized by the Boston Globe, and this is some of the things that they talk about. They start by saying that a central pillar of President Trump's politics is a sustained assault on the free press. Now, to my way of thinking, he's been attacking the fake news, the people that are, and talk about a sustained assault. The press has had a sustained assault on him. And then they say there's a danger. I'll just bring this one more quote here from this, which kind of shows what they're talking about, what I'm talking about. They have a whole paragraph that talks about a poll about how many people think that Trump should reign in the media. And then the very next sentence says, Trump can't outlaw the press from doing their job here, of course. If he can't, what difference does a poll make? They're just ginning up some concern. Now, yes, the president has been less than civil or less than polite, maybe, to the press and in certain people of the press. But this is the ongoing battle between the president and the press. Walker, I have a list here of some of the newspapers. We might be able to put them up, although there's a link to all these. If you want to read through some of these, you can make your own opinion. This is from CNN Politics. It's headlined, "These are the newspapers telling Trump." And it's just a list of some of them from different states. So we can put that up. Not everybody was serious. I mean, being serious about it, I will say that the Chicago Tribune, Rex Hupke, one of their editorial humor writers, penned a little piece from his dog.
To President Trump.
To President Trump. And he starts, "Dear large human."
Dear Pawpaw.
"Dear large human president, I do not usually pay attention to human politics, but I'm writing because I've noticed you keep comparing humans to dogs. He says, I no longer watch Fox News because after many years of promise, I have yet to see a single fox I can bark at. I asked my human to collect a sample of the times you call people dogs, and he did so while I barked at squirrels. He says, I hate squirrels. Can you please deport them? So, you know, some people are having a little bit of fun.
Speaking of which, my got home last night.
Yeah.
And an armadillo was in my backyard.
Really?
Yeah. And my little Maltese dog, he's 7 pounds, you know, and then he's hair. And then I found out what he barks at night when he's on the patio, because I can't, mm-hmm. humans can't see everything dogs can see. Because this little Maltese, which is a little friendly, you know,
champ,
fairly docile little dog and everything, but he sees that armadillo at night in the backyard, which I can't see, and he just shrieks and freaks out, and he's like his hair's on fire or something.
Is he behind a door?
He's behind a fence that gated. He can almost get through. I know he doesn't understand that fence is saving his life.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's going to be able to take down that armadillo if he gets out there like he's acting like he wants to get to it. I don't know why I thought about that. What did you just talk about?
I was talking about the op-ed against the president's attack on...
Wait, which is directly related to my dog going after the armadillo.
Yeah, yes, dog and squirrels and animals.
I knew I had some connection there.
Yeah.
Right,
but
I don't know. Do you think that it's where do you guys? How do you guys rate Ray? How do you rate the battle between the president and the media?
President's winning? The Kansas City Star today was one of those newspapers, and I read the editorial, and it's just boilerplate the stuff. You know, it's newspapers bragging on themselves,
yeah,
and how wonderful and how important they are. So to show their independence, they have banded together, followed the herd instinct, and 200 or 300 of them have published editorials on the same day. This is how you show your independence and show freedom of the press.
It's by everybody doing the same thing on the same day.
Thank you.
In a coordinated
exactly
effort.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my word.
Right. I saw the definition of irony today when I was trying to get to the Boston Globe. They're the one organizing it. I was trying to get to their editorial. And I got behind a paywall. So what happened was the article came up, but it was grayed out, right? And at the bottom was a banner that says, subscribers support the free press, which means I have to pay to
money.
Get to the free press. A little bit, yeah.
Thank you. This is much ado about nothing. This story, in terms of its impact, is DOA. It's dead on arrival. We won't even be talking about this tonight. I mean, the newspapers did this to make themselves feel good.
I will, Ray. I'll be talking about it tonight.
I will say that President Trump historically does not attack people who do not first attack him. You look at every example where President Trump lashes out on Twitter.
Right.
It was not started by the president. It was started by a commentator or, a former White House employee.
He doesn't hold back. If you go after him, he's going to go after you. And that's just the way he operates. So you can expect that.
Part of the I'm not going to start a fight, but I'll finish it crowd, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, what's next?
So we've been telling people here at American Family Association about some of the things that are up on Netflix and the dangerous things. The 13 Reasons Why is resulted by our accounting.
That's the name of a show. It really glorifies suicide.
About a teen that committed suicide. And it has been responsible for, by our accounting, for some kids taking their own lives. There's another film that's up there. It's a film apparently called Desire. And in it, it has what several groups, including our own, have described as child pornography. And now today, the Parents Television Council is also coming out and wrote a letter to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings asking him to immediately remove this film because of its child porn content. So obviously, I've not seen, we're not going to watch the movie for you or whatever, but if enough people of good intent have seen this and are concerned about it, something for you to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure. Ray, have you seen this story?
Just a little
yeah.
bit.
The thing is, and the clip, which I have watched the clip, so I can talk about it. That's the only reason I watched it. But it is highly disturbing. It is clearly sexualizing children, underage children, in this video on Netflix. And Netflix has not done anything to take it down, which begs the question why it's not being investigated. Because, and I'm not going to get into the details of the scene. You can read news articles to find out about that. But it's clearly, in my opinion, child pornography. And it's on a major streaming service, which is paid subscribers. And it's not being investigated, but that's why we launched a petition a couple weeks ago asking the Department of Justice to investigate it. And to date, we haven't heard anything about that.
For those out there that might think we are, and again, I'm trusting Walker on what the content is, that it is what we say it is. But for those that say that perhaps we are making much ado about nothing, just take to heart or remember the conversation we had yesterday about the scandal in Pennsylvania with the Catholic Church and the priests abusing children. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. The more that media sexualizes children, the more that people who are prone to pedophilia or child molestation, that kind of a thing, feel empowered to do those things, violate those things. Us calling, I think, my opinion, and this is an opinion, not a reporter's comment, but my opinion that American Family Association, of what we're doing with regard to this film Desire, I think is worthy of our effort, and mm-hmm. I think people need to pay attention. And
you know, I don't have Netflix. I know a lot of people do, and I'm not going to tell folks what to do. But if I did, why would they listen to me? But anyway, I would just say this: if you're a Christian family, paying for Netflix now with all this garbage that they're carrying,
yeah,
I would reconsider that. I really would, because we don't need to do anything to help these guys. They don't care. Netflix does not care about what kind of content they offer, and that 13 Reasons Why. That is a horrible show that, as I say, glorifies suicide, mm-hmm. teen suicide. And we've talked about that before. That's documented. Now, they would say, no, it's just presenting it as a entertainment show. No, it's really a dark show, and that's just one of their programs on there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Senator Lindsey Graham is calling for a special counsel to investigate the FBI's handling of the Clinton emails and the FISA warrant that was used to start the whole Trump-Russia investigation. Hmm. So this is a fairly influential sitting senator that's now calling for a special counsel. We have one special counsel that's investigating President Trump. He says we need another to investigate the handling of the Clinton emails and the FISA warrant. Ray? You think we should?
It's so hard to understand.
Yeah.
It's so hard to understand what's really going on here, Walker. What's yeah. the answer to the question?
Well,
Walker can go a long time on this,
I can.
Right?
I'm going to talk about it.
Leave me some time at the end, okay?
Yeah, I got a couple things. I will. I'm going to talk about it on my show this weekend, which airs at 2:30 Central, p.m. Central on American Family Radio on Saturday. But
what's the name of the show? Exposing Washington,
Exposing
right?
Washington. Okay. I'm skeptical to another investigation. Not that investigations aren't useful. They are in uncovering things that happen, the truth. But my issue is that we do these investigations, but nobody ever goes to jail. And that doesn't discredit the investigation, but I guess it discredits or brings into question the prosecutors and the people making the decisions after the investigation concludes. So I'm not necessarily opposed to another investigation into this, into the whole Mueller thing and the Russia investigation, how it began, and the political angle of it that from its inception. But I just wish that someone would actually have to answer, legally answer, for a lot of the things that go on in Washington. And that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well said. Exposing Washington. I do want folks to tune into that. That's Saturday afternoon, 2:30 Central Time, and you host that show.
That's right.
Can people listen to the podcast?
They can. AFR.net, you can listen to the podcast. And starting this weekend, we will be on YouTube, so you can watch the show on YouTube.
Okay. Next story, Steve.
I want to talk about a woman in England. We don't know her name. They didn't name her.
Her parents didn't name her?
No, the parents named her, but the news story did not for a reason that might be apparent in a minute. She lost a contact 28 years ago, and she finally found it. She found a contact that she lost 28 years ago. It was stuck up under her eyelid on top of her eye.
No.
28 years.
Wow.
Yep.
What? She never found it for 28 years?
When she was 14 years old, she got hit in the eye in a game of badminton, and she lost her contact lens.
And so then it was right there in front of her the whole time?
The whole time. It's got MRI pictures showing. So she went.
Did it hurt her physically? We don't want to make fun of something that.
Well, no, she's fine now. For years she's been suffering from a drooping eyelid. Finally went to a doctor and they found a cyst up above her eye. They took the cyst out, which healed the eyelid problem. And when they took the cyst out, it broke open. And lo and behold,
they took it out. And she's okay now.
She's okay now.
Can she use that?
No, she's off of contact. It was a hard contact lens. She's not using those anymore.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, yes. Me too.
And then one more. So we talked the other day about the guy that people were going to tattoo artists and just letting them do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Here's another indication that tattoos might not be the best, especially for romantic things. Newlywed husband. His name is Wayne Lomax, got married, and decided to commemorate the date on his finger by tattooing it on his finger. But
the date
behold,
they got married.
The
he's
date they got
tattoo.
Married,
okay.
He put it on his finger, and there it is. I'm showing you to Tim.
Okay.
The only problem is he got the wrong date.
No.
He tattooed the wrong date.
He tattooed
2 weeks,
himself?
No, he went to a tattoo parlor 2 weeks after
somebody.
His wedding. And got the wrong date. Didn't see it. Didn't notice it for 6 weeks.
Can you white ink that in any way?
I don't know.
You know, here's what maybe happened. Maybe he went to that artist we talked about last week who just tattoos random things on people.
That's what I was
saying. Maybe that's what happened.
Let's go with that because
that's a big mistake.
Not a way to start
out.
Well,
I tell you, I've told this story before.
Explain that to your wife.
I read about the true story. I read about a guy who's a Notre Dame fan, and he went in to have a tattoo done. And the tattoo, they got it done, put the leprechaun on there, you know, the Fighting Irish,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
Pulled it off, and they had left the T out of fighting.
Fighting Irish?
So it's fine Irish.
Fine Irish.
Hey, if you're from Mississippi, that sounds great.
That's okay. So we drop our T's all the time.
The Notre Dame Fine Irish. And I don't know what do you say in a moment like that if you're the tattoo artist? My bad?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. You hear about the guy that got the tattoo who says no regrets?
No regrets. That's right.
I'm sorry. Sir, listen, that T is on me. Okay?
we're going to give you
a 20%.
It's good because it's not on
yeah.
me.
All right, we're going to give you a 20% discount
That's
just
right.
because I left the T out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
Walker?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your contributions. And Steve?
My pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. And Brent. We thank Brent Creeley for producing the program. Well, tomorrow's Trivia Friday, so will JJ and Ed, as far as I know, they're going to be here. So I'll be here with them. So join us 22 hours and 30 minutes from now. We'll be here with Trivia Friday. We'll see you then, folks. Have a great day.